Welcome to our podcast. My name is Keely Severson, and I'm here with Eric Johnson, and we are Exposing Mold. Today, we are here with Emily. Welcome, Emily. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on, Keely and Eric. I appreciate it.
Emily, I know that you and your family have been absolutely through it with mold, and it has led to you being involved in a lot of different aspects of the mold industry, but I don't really know much about your story. So can you just fill us in on how you got sick and what happened, and just share your story with us?
Sure. I'll start first by saying that before we ever went into this toxic environment, you know, I didn't have any problems with my health. I think I've been to the doctors like for pneumonia when I was little and a cyst in my 20s, and that was pretty much it. I wasn't allergic to anything. My husband has seasonal allergies to cedar, and that's pretty much all of his issues he had. We were very athletic, and we love going outdoors, and we just had our firstborn son, Sebastian, in May of 2014. And whenever we had him, we had decided at that time to take an opportunity that some family members had presented to us. They've been asking us for years to take over their restaurant because they wanted to keep it in the family and not sell it to just some stranger. And Josh was the perfect candidate. So we decided that it would be in our best benefit for our son if I could be a full-time stay-at-home mom and not be working full-time for what I was doing at the time. I was working for home builders. And, but I was helping people build custom homes, and I helped them design their homes. And the one thing that I couldn't do was leave my current clients with just some random salesperson, because they looked to me to make sure that their home that I helped them customize was going to be built properly. And so we told these people, give us 10 months, let's get my clients' homes closed, and then we'll come down there. So right at 10 months, we went down to Livingston, where this restaurant is, and we moved into this townhome that was about 3,200 square feet. And that first week, all of our family, everybody started having issues, even our dogs. I started to break out in acne. Like, I was not even going through puberty. I mean, this was like cystic, horrible acne that you couldn't even touch because it was so painful. I had GI issues that first month. My menstrual cycle changed drastically. I never had issues with my menstrual cycle before. My son started to behave differently, be a lot more fussy. He came down with a bad sinus infection. He hadn't been sick yet his entire life. And so we didn't know what it was. Of course, people were like, it could be stress from the move. And so we kind of normalized that. Well, maybe it's just stress. Even my dogs were having issues, potty issues, scratching at themselves like they had fleas when they didn't. And then a few months into this house, I took my son to the pediatrician because he wasn't getting better. He was regressing even more. He developed extreme separation anxiety, social anxiety. I am taking him to the store was a nightmare. If anybody got near him, he would just start screaming. And I asked his pediatrician if mold could be doing anything of what we've seen change in Sebastian, as well as I asked him about myself. And he told me no. It's even documented on the medical paperwork that I asked him about mold, and he told me no. And back then,
did you see mold, or like what made you ask?
I had a client, believe it or not, just before we moved into this toxic home. She was one of my last clients. Her window broke during construction, and it was supposed to rain in a few days. And she was so paranoid that we weren't going to replace the window. There was nothing taped over to keep any rain from getting in. She was so terrified that rain was going to get in through this cracked window, this broken window, and it was going to create moisture problems and then create mold. And I didn't believe back then that mold was dangerous at all. I mean, you know, my bosses didn't think it was a big deal. And anyway, she started sending me all these links to show me, you know, that, you know, mold can do all these things. I never, ever clicked on any of those links. One of her biggest concerns was they had planned on starting a family when they moved into this house. And she had heard that it can actually affect a developing fetus. And so she is the one that planted the seed. So whenever we moved into this home, we didn't see any mold. Josh and I are very clean. We didn't smell any mold. And, but because she had told me these things, I started to notice some of the symptoms. And so that's why I asked this pediatrician. You know, I didn't take it upon myself to do the research, which is what I should have done. I wish I had, because our life would probably be completely different if I had. So I just asked the doctor, because I figured the doctor isn't going to tell me no if it's really no. And because he did say that, I was like, okay, well, it's not mold. You know, maybe it is just stress. Maybe it is just this new area where the pollen count is higher, which a lot of people, you know, were saying. And at that time, I was doing a lot of running outdoors because I was training for a half marathon. And so I was getting a break from the home, and I would take my son and I would, you know, push him in his running stroller for, you know, 5-7 miles. And in the summer, my menstrual cycle pain was getting so severe that it hurt to even lift my legs. I couldn't even get out of bed during that time of the month. And then something inside me told me that I needed to detox. So I started looking for like cleansing programs online, and I found one, and I had just ordered it. And then all of a sudden I was walking up the stairs one day, and out of nowhere, I developed debilitating anxiety. I was immediately on the floor. I thought I was going to die. I could barely get to my phone to just call Josh. And I told Josh he needed to come home. When he got home, he couldn't calm me down. He had to give me some sort of muscle relaxer. I've never had anxiety, like an anxiety attack, ever in my life. I knew people that said they did, but I never knew what one was like until that day. And then the next day I had another one. And after that, I kept having anxiety attacks every single month. And then I started this cleansing program. And when I started that, I actually felt a little better. My symptoms got a little bit better. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I just need a detox. But I wasn't asking the question of why, you know, but still, why am I having these issues out of nowhere? So then somebody mentioned to me, well, maybe it's postpartum. You had your son, you know, in May. I was like, okay, we're almost, he's like, what was it? 10 months. He was over a year and a half. I was like, so a year later after having labor, I just suddenly developed postpartum issues, but I did look into it. And, but I, for whatever reason, I wasn't putting together the fact that I was starting to exhibit the same problems that Sebastian was having. I had anxiety. I started to have dark circles under my eyes. I had all these terrible GI issues, just like Sebastian was having. I developed knots, like all in my back, the back of my skull, inflammation, the right side of my body, heart palpitation problems. Sebastian had heart palpitation problems, breathing issues, ear fluid in my ears. I developed light sensitivity to where I was like walking around with sunglasses everywhere, noise sensitivities. And I wasn't putting it together because Sebastian had also developed noise sensitivity and light sensitivities. He wanted every single light off in the house. If you flipped on the light, he would just go crazy. Sebastian lost his eye contact probably about 5 months into this townhome, where all of a sudden he wouldn't look at me in the eyes anymore. He lost his speech. He just started grunting. He didn't want to be cuddled anymore. At the same time, my dog Cujo, who was my running buddy, she couldn't run with me anymore. She started to develop all these tumors in her body. And she was always excessively thirsty. She itched so much that she actually ripped the skin off her tail. My dog Charlie started to lose his vision. He also was excessively thirsty and itchy. And he started to have joint pain problems. He was limping all the time. My husband, Josh, thought I was going nuts. He could not understand what was going on with his family. People made me feel like maybe I was just a bad mom, and Sebastian's behavioral issues were because I was just not a good mom. You know, he was our first kid. Maybe I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, I am a great mom. I know I'm a great mom. That's not the problem. But luckily, whenever Josh saw me actually hallucinate for the first time, that's when he was like, okay, I need to figure out what's going on with my wife. So he started to stay home more to take care of Sebastian and help me. And then that's when he started to have random nosebleeds. He started to lose his vision. His gums swelled so much, they started to cover his teeth, and he just lost a tooth out of nowhere one day. He developed diarrhea, excessive diarrhea problems and GI issues. And he had heart palpitation problems and breathing problems. And he started to not to remember anything. And he started to have, you know, what do you call it? Like, just, he would get upset very easily. And Josh is a very low key. He's the nicest guy. We never really argued at all before this townhouse. And all of a sudden we were at each other's throats, like, all the time. And, then, when my OB couldn't figure out what was going on with my menstrual cycles and my lower abdomen issues, she did a blood test and she was like, well, let's see if you're deficient on anything, you know? And, I wasn't, except vitamin D2, just a little bit showed up, but everything else was good. And so she just wanted to put me on birth control and see if that fixed all my issues. It didn't, of course. And, but again, for whatever reason, I still wasn't putting the whole picture together. It was like my brain was keeping me now from realizing everybody in my house had symptoms and we were all in the same house. Like, there's one common factor here, and that's we're all in the same house.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors. Home Cleanse, formerly known as All American Restoration, is a company that specializes in improving indoor air quality through proper mold remediation, offering services nationwide. You can visit them at homecleanse.com to learn more. The Mold Guy performs mold sampling and testing for homeowners, renters, and businesses. Please visit themoldguyinc.com to learn more. Black Diamond Services provides solutions to the unforeseen challenges that can affect homes and families with no out-of-pocket costs. Services include temporary housing relocation and mold test referrals for homeowners. Visit blackdiamondservices.com to learn more. Great Plains Laboratory provides toxic exposure testing to those living in compromised environments. Tests include the Mycotox panel that tests for mycotoxins in urine samples and the Envirotox panels tests for environmental chemicals in the urine and provides an overall metabolic snapshot of a patient's health. Visit gp-labs.com to learn more. Thank you again for your sponsorships. It is integral to our ability to serve our community and to improve the quality of life for all.
Just before we left that townhome, when we finally figured it out, the last thing that I started to do was pray. I felt like nobody else could help me here. And I mean, I was just, please God, help me find an answer. And I thought when we were driving to my brother's house, because we were going to go see him, it's kind of a vacation, but he had this event. So we were going to go see him, and that's what got us out of the house. And whenever we left to go see my brother, that's when our symptoms started to let up. And that's when Josh and I realized finally that it was our home. But we weren't looking at mold because, again, the doctor said that mold wasn't the issue. So on our way home, I was looking up everything else, water contamination, lead. And out of nowhere, we got a text message from tenants that lived in a home owned by the same landlord who had a son named Cody, who we had been praying for because Cody kept going back to the hospital, being hospitalized, and they thought he has cystic fibrosis. And with Josh's remodeling background, the landlords had hired Josh to go to their house to fix some things. And that's how we met them. And that's how we knew about Cody. And well, out of the blue, while I'm researching what could be causing our symptoms, they texted Josh and told him that Cody's fine, that it was actually mold in the home causing all of Cody's symptoms. And they got him out. and Cody's doing so much better. And so that's when we knew it was most likely mold. And that's when I started to research mold on the way home, and it all made sense. And so when we got home, we hired an inspector who came in, and luckily for us, his air samples did show positive. And he called us that night and he was like, y'all need to leave now. He didn't expect our environment to be so toxic. And so we left the next day. But whenever I was looking at, I think I have them right here somewhere. Hold on. I have the results here. I do. So when he came to our house to do the assessment, and at that time, I didn't know any better. I didn't know what a mold assessment was supposed to look like. And he was in our house for maybe 25, 30 minutes. You know, covered a whole 3,200 square foot home. And he only looked at a few areas and then ran some samples. But, you know, downstairs, he took an air sample from my son's playpen. And that showed in the air for 1,040 spores of Stachybotrys, 3,830 spores of Chaetomium, 3,130 of Penicillium aspergillus, and some others, you know, compared to, you know, the outdoor count, which was a lot lower, obviously. But unknowns to us, we didn't know that that townhome had flooded before we moved in. And then we found out after we left that that roof was supposed to have been replaced during Hurricane Ike, but they never did, even though they got an insurance check to replace it. They just patched everything up. So it had been leaking since then. And then we found out that they knew the mold was there because a brother of a contractor came forward and told us that he went in there because his brother was hired to go in there and just replace all the sheetrock that had mold coming through that they could see. So it was very obviously disappointing because had they just fixed that home properly, then my family wouldn't have suffered how they suffered. And we honestly thought that our nightmare when we left that townhome was over. But then mold remediation started. I know, Keely, you're very familiar with how it goes with remediation landlords. But our landlord wasn't going to fix the townhome properly. And we found that out during remediation. We found out that they were lying to us. And that's when I realized Texas actually regulates the industry. And so Josh qualified based on his background and experience to go and actually become a mold consultant. So we just sent him there to have the trainer look at everything and tell us what they were doing wrong or right and what needs to be done. And that's when we found out that they were actually breaking a lot of rules, laws, and regulations. And when Josh came back home, we found out we were expecting our second son, Malachi. We weren't planning on this. And we were very afraid because I was still very sick at this time that I couldn't even carry a pregnancy. So I went to the OBGYN and I asked him if mold could actually affect a pregnancy. And of course he said no. And I pretty much left it at that. I didn't want to research into if mold could actually affect a developing fetus like my client had told me. And I just left it to God and was like, I'm just going to say prayers that he protects this child. And then, of course, we found out at 23 weeks that our second son that we named Malachi had actually developed a terminal birth defect called anencephaly, which is a very rare terminal birth defect. And my doctor told me it's because, you know, it's due to low folate. And I was like, that's impossible because that's one of the things the other doctor tested me for. And I have those results here too. 6 months prior to being pregnant with Malachi, my other doctor tested me specifically for folate. And I came back at 22.6 with the reference range being between 7 and 31.4. So I was more on the higher end. And then B12, they said it could be that too. I was actually above average where I came back at 1,147 milliliters. And the reference range was between 213 and 816. So what changed? How did Malachi develop this terminal birth defect? And then I find out from my functional doctor that anencephaly has been linked to fusarium mold. And when I looked into that, there was a big cluster of anencephalic babies down in South Texas. And they found out the women were eating contaminated corn in their, what do you call it? What do you make tacos with? Corn tortillas. And it was this specific Fusarium species. And I tested positive for that in my blood also. So whenever my doctor tested me to see what was in my blood, I had the same species of Fusarium that was linked to these other anencephalic babies. And then when I looked into that further, I was like, well, how does that cause anencephaly? It's because that mold actually prevents the cells from absorbing nutrients, folate, which is what he needed to not develop this terminal birth defect. So when we found all this information out, unfortunately, the hospital that I was at was a Catholic hospital, and their Christian beliefs would not allow us to terminate the pregnancy at the hospital, where they would just induce me and, you know, terminate the pregnancy immediately, like all the other hospitals would allow me to be at. So here I am now stuck at this hospital, and I only have basically one option. I have to go to this other doctor and do this horrific procedure where they put you under, because basically the chances of the baby coming out in pieces is very high. And I was like, I'm not doing that, you know? But at the same time, it's like, well, what do I do? Because I don't want Malachi to suffer any more than he's suffering. You know, he's dying, and I don't know how much pain he's in. And then I get a call from this other OBGYN doctor, and I didn't know this, but there's a loophole. And she said, look, I have patients that have had a terminal pregnancy. They can't afford to go do that procedure, but they just have the doctor stop the baby's heart. If you have the doctor just give you the shot that basically induces a heart attack to the baby, then their hospital, who won't, you know, they will then basically induce you because the baby is now dead. So they'll induce you if the baby's dead inside you. And I know that is like so horrible to even think about, but that was the position I was in. But I was already at the threshold in Texas to where this doctor wouldn't even touch me. So I decided we're just going to carry a term. You know, there's nothing left to do unless we go out of state, which at that time we couldn't afford because mold had already depleted all of our savings. We had no money left. And I went home that night and I was very angry at God, because I was just, you know, why didn't you at least protect Malachi? We've already been through all this other crap. We've lost everything. My son, Sebastian, is being looked at now as like autistic because of how mold has affected him neurologically. And as clear as day, I just heard this voice and it just said, you know, it's okay if you're mad at me, Emily. It's okay if you can't pray anymore, but Malachi still deserves prayers. So if you can't pray, ask others. And that's when I finally, you know, just kind of opened up, and I went on Facebook. And I just asked people to pray for Malachi. And that's when my friend started a GoFundMe that night. I didn't know she was starting it at all. Josh, when he saw that, because we're very private people and we never ask for help, he was just like, can you ask her to take that down? You know? And I was like, well, it's like 1 a.m. I'll ask her in the morning. When I got up the next morning, it already raised like $3,000, and it wasn't the money. It was the fact that people were supporting our family, you know, and writing these messages. And that's when I saw, you know, Josh just it was very humbling, I'll tell you that. But having people just show up and support you during such a difficult time, it helps to mend like the hole in your heart that has been created by what you have gone through and are going through. And the landlords heard about, obviously, what had happened to Malachi. And I didn't want to do anything legally against them. I was, before we heard about Malachi, I was like, I don't want to go after them legally. Let's just move on with our life. But then they sent us an email. And just, you know, we're like, we heard about Malachi and, you know, we're so sorry. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Our landlords were family members. Okay. These weren't just strangers. And they actually knew about mold and how dangerous it was. One of them had been educated on mold in that Florida clinic. I think it's Eric, you might know this. Dr. Spraga, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's Dr. Sponagel.
Yes.
He has the detox clinic.
So one of them had actually gone down there to help their niece for a month. And I'll never forget, you know, when she got back, she was like, oh my God, I learned all about mold and how dangerous it is and how it can cause all these issues and birth defects and neurological problems. And they had been, as soon as they found out that the townhome had tested positive for mold, that's when they started to make us try to feel like maybe it isn't mold that's causing all these issues, like it's not that big a deal. And that's when the bridge between us burnt, because it's like they watched us go downhill the moment we moved into this townhome. And then when we finally had these answers, which they're educated on, that they then try to tell us it's not mold, you know? And so whenever they sent that email, that's when I was like, you know what? It's time for them to be uncomfortable. So let's just go ahead legally after them. And that's what we did. And after we got those test results back on me, my functional doctor was very concerned about my health. And he stepped forward and he said, we need to terminate the pregnancy now. You know, we need to find out a way because you got to start treatment. And because my numbers were apparently some of the highest he's ever seen. And so he actually called my OBGYN and talked to him, and we didn't have the money again to go anywhere. So we did get enough money to where they could fly me to New Mexico. And that clinic agreed to just stop Malachi's heart. And if my OBGYN would take responsibility for me for having me fly back and not do the full procedure there. And so we booked our plane tickets. And then 2 days before we were supposed to leave, that's when Josh came forward and he just said, I don't think that you're supposed to be doing this. I feel that we need to let God take Malachi and you don't need to go and do this. And I was very angry because honestly, you know, at this time, I felt my life was in jeopardy too. And if I didn't have Sebastian and Sebastian wasn't so sick, I honestly would have been like, fine, let's roll the dice and see if I die or not. Like I was in so much pain. I was ready to be done with this life. And I left the house after he told me that just to take a break and get a breath. And that's when I turned on the radio and this song came on. I never heard it before, but it spoke to me immediately. And it was literally like a message was being sent to me from Malachi and God, letting me know that, you know, everything's okay. They know what we're going through, but there's, you just don't do what we are going to do, which was go to New Mexico and stop this heart. Like there's a plan. And so that's what gave me, honestly, like it was the craziest thing, but I immediately just had peace come over me because I knew that for the first time, God was with us. He is here. You know, we're not alone. And so we canceled the plane tickets and we just moved forward with carrying to term. And then on December 17th, Sebastian was laying his head on Malachi like he did every night. And he out of nowhere just got up, crawled up on his knees on the couch, and he turned my face and he kissed my cheek. It was the sweetest thing, but I knew in that moment, like he's never done anything like that, that was Malachi. And I felt like that was Malachi saying goodbye. And the next morning on December 18th, when I woke up, I knew he was gone. There wasn't a connection between him and I anymore. And so I went to the hospital later that day. And then on December 19th is when he was born. And we held him and we said our goodbyes to him. And we had him baptized. You know, and we promised him that if there was any way we could keep this from happening to another child, we would. And when we left that hospital, I was not expecting the grief that would come when we left. It was literally on our way home. I just started to get so angry and sad all at once again. And those next few months were pretty dark for me, but I had to just put my feelings aside because my son Sebastian now was being diagnosed with autism. And I'm being told that, you know, kids are born like this. And I was like, well, that's not true. He was fine before this home. And luckily, we didn't move into this home immediately when he was a baby. Like, you know, we waited 10 months for my clients to close. Because had we taken him into that toxic home when he was a, you know, newborn, I would never have known his personality. I would have never known that he was normally developing. And so I knew he regressed because I knew who he was before that toxic home. And so I was very blessed that at least I saw that snapshot of him before we went into this environment. And so Sebastian was put into special education and, you know, we detoxed him. It took us about 3 years, but he's no longer considered autistic at all anymore. He still does have some speech delays and reading delays, but he's catching up and he's just the sweetest kid. And that's pretty much our mole story. I mean, I don't want to make it too long, but that's pretty much our mole story. And we got into the industry, obviously, and we created, you know, Texas Mold Inspectors. And because we realized that the most important part of this process is having a good thorough inspection the first time to make sure that, you know, people know where all the mold is and what they need to fix. And that's what Josh does every day, pretty much.
I am just kind of speechless, Emily, because your story is just a lot. I think for any mom who's been through this to hear, because it's so hard to walk through with your kids in situations like this. So I just was hoping I could hold it together a little bit better than I am. So I apologize, but I just want to thank you for coming here and sharing your story, because not only is it, you know, helpful in context to understand why you started Malachi's Message and why you guys got into the mold inspection industry, but also like a warning tale for other moms. You know, like if your doctors are denying that this is possible, that doesn't mean that it's not possible. And for families to be able to kind of connect the dots on this before something irreversible happens. So thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your story.
Keely Severson is passionate and committed to exposing the truth about toxic mold and its effects on the human body. Many mold-injured people are often misdiagnosed with autoimmune conditions, nerve damage, mental illnesses, and other chronic health conditions due to the lack of knowledge about water damage and toxic mold growing in their homes. The crippling effects of toxic mold on the body has destroyed many lives. Been there, done that. When she became a healthcare provider specializing in acupuncture and herbal medicine, it was only then that she truly began to understand the connection between her health and the environment that she was living in. 3 years after becoming a licensed care provider, she became incredibly ill. She was suffering from kidney failure, reoccurring UTIs, and various negative mental health symptoms. When she learned that her family had been dwelling with mold trapped under her kitchen floor, the relationship between the toxic mold factor and her health finally began to make sense. It became part of her life's mission to help educate society on the extreme effects that mold can have on the body. Her work is vital because there exists a lack of experience and acknowledgement from mainstream medical practitioners and even mold experts. She has firsthand experience dealing with mold exposure, and she makes sure to address all the signs and symptoms during every environmental screening that she performs. She's developed a line of organic herbal tinctures and formulas to help most patients reduce symptoms commonly associated with toxic mold exposures. These symptoms vary and can manifest themselves very differently from person to person. Her herbal education and experience has helped her increase awareness and recognize signs in patients that may result from their toxic environments. Keely's dedication to learning and understanding the effects of toxic mold and educating and bringing awareness to her patients and other providers keep her motivated. She knows just how devastating the untreated consequences can be on your health and the health of your families, relationships, and life outcomes. If you or someone you know may be affected by toxic mold exposure, rest assured that you and Keely will work together to find a solution. By working together to treat the symptoms and stay educated on toxic mold exposures, we can reduce the impact of this devastating phenomenon. To consult with Keely, please visit exposingmold.com/consultations. That's exposingmold.com/consultations. Book your appointment today.
Incredibly powerful. And you got hit with all the worst trichothecene producing molds, the whole combination of them.
Yeah, it's, I used to have a photographic memory and I used to be very proud of that. That's one of the reasons why I was so good at what I did when it came to helping people customize and design their homes. Like I had their plans photographed in my memory, and I've never gotten that back. My memory is not as sharp as it was before that townhome. But honestly, when I look back now, Keely and Eric, I see how God was there the entire way. I have seen other people who go through mold who've put up, GoFundMes, and nobody really donates because people can't understand, what they're going through because they hear mold and it's not like a house fire or a house flood. And Malachi gave them a way to understand our pain. That money that was raised actually paid our bills that month. We were about to not be able to pay our rent. And our electricity had just been turned off because we couldn't pay it. And because my friend started that GoFundMe and people could relate to the fact of losing a child, people donated. They could understand that kind of pain. And, Malachi has given us a purpose. He reminds us every day of why we get up and do what we do. And now he's helping others through the foundation that Elizabeth and I created to help financially assist those that are going through mold. If I could go back and not go through this and have him here, I'd do it in a heartbeat. But I can't change. I can't do that. So at least I have a purpose now, from everything that we've gone through.
I think that's one of the most powerful things that somebody in this situation can do is, I'm so sorry, take their pain and turn it into purpose, because without being able to transform that in your own life, like we're just suffering always. So I can see where your faith really carried you through. And how you've been able to look back and create purpose and meaning through all of this. And that's like a beautiful silver lining in the tragedy, that good can come of this with people like you transforming this type of experience into something that helps other people.
Well, I can say the same for you and Alicia and Eric. I mean, look at what y'all have done. And what you are doing. you know, from what happened to you guys. And I don't know, you know, I wasn't anybody special before mold. You know, I had a good life, and I think, you know, that's one of the reasons why it's like every day I work to help others. You know, I want to help them get through this nightmare faster than it would go if they didn't have me there helping them.
I feel the same way. As overwhelming and frustrating as this line of work can be sometimes, that's like the thought of the future generations of children and families is like the one thing that is like, no, you have to keep going. Like, you can't quit because there's other families living through what you live through that don't know about this. Not that it's all of our responsibility, but we should all have a little social responsibility in helping other people have a better life.
Absolutely. You know, I was also blessed the fact that Sebastian was as young as he was when he went through it, because I can't imagine going through it with older children who are aware of what's happening and losing everything that they own. Like, that's on a different level as well. You know, Sebastian doesn't remember any of it at all to this day because he was so neurologically impacted. And so I didn't have to go through all the challenges that come with having children that were aware and being ripped from the home that was their comfort and their safety and all their things, and having to explain why, you know. And we moved into one of the most toxic homes we've still seen today, which was also another blessing. What if it had been a new home where it was, you know, a slow growing issue and only one person was sick in the house, and then another person, and then potentially another person down the road? You know, that's where it causes a lot. I feel like spouses have a bigger issue with not staying together because the husband really doesn't understand. A lot of times it's the husband because he's the one that's leaving the house to go to work and the mom's in the house, you know. And I was lucky that Josh got impacted the way that he did, because all of a sudden he realized I wasn't crazy. Had that environment not been so toxic, he may not have ever gotten those symptoms and we probably wouldn't be together today.
So crazy how that happens. It's so crazy how like the worst thing can happen to you and then you can look back and still find a reason to be grateful for it, you know. And that's just one of the beautiful things in life that I have to
Yeah, it's really bizarre that those of us who had a really horrific exposure and got quick sit very fast were actually lucky, because we got the message much sooner than the slow growing cases where a family gets sick one member at a time.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
It also let us know that doctors were completely wrong about this and not to back down to them.
Yeah, you know, whenever Sebastian got, you know, when I was told that Sebastian was autistic, there was no data out there that I could find that linked mold to autism. So I was getting a lot of pushback saying, no, this is mold induced. Like, this is mold illness. This is not autism with my son. Like, he regressed into it because of mold. I know this because I had the same symptoms. I can understand where he's coming from. You know, being a 3-year-old, having those neurological, you know, inflammation problems and pain throughout his body. And honestly, I don't know all the pain that he was in because he couldn't communicate it to us. He couldn't verbally talk to us. And, you know, now today, there are studies showing that mold can cause a kid to exhibit symptoms that are like autism or regress into autism. So, and even children that are born with autism, it shows that, you know, if they're exposed to mold, then that can cause them to exacerbate their symptoms or have even more symptoms. So people really need to look at their indoor environment, you know, to make sure it's a good indoor environment that's not going to cause them to have health issues, or subject somebody who is more inclined to being symptomatic because they already have, you know, an underlying health problem.
Hopefully this can serve as like a cautionary tale to other families that if you're having interpersonal relationships or fertility issues or health issues that seem mysterious, that started on the onset with living in a new space, or even a slow onset like we discussed, where it's like a slighter exposure, but you're sick over time, to definitely consider mold. And I also just want to tell everyone about Malachi's Message, which is a foundation that raises funds in part to help replace items that have been lost by the children who have been displaced from a moldy house, having to move and having to abandon all their items. So if anyone wants to donate to Malachi's Message, that's malachismessage.com, right, Emily?
.org.
Yeah. And you have a Facebook support group for parents too, don't you?
Moms Against Mold. That's the only... And I'm not very active in that lately for a while because I'm just so busy. But yes, I send people to your platform, honestly, Kaylee and Eric. Like, go check out Exposing Mold and listen to their podcast because they have some really good ones.
But if anyone's in Texas or in the southern states and needs like a really good mold inspector that's going to be really thorough in looking at things and not just do a quick walkthrough with a visual inspection and tell you everything looks good, I mean, that's who I would call if I needed someone in your area. Absolutely. Because we've interviewed Josh and how he talks about being so thorough. I mean, I think some of these families are going through like 3-4 inspectors and they're not finding anything. And then they're like really convinced that it's not mold. And then they're really at risk for a divorce, because how many inspections can you pay for that don't find mold before like your relationship completely collapses when one person's convinced it's this and one person doesn't believe that it is because that's what the professionals are saying. So I feel like Your and Josh's inspection company is doing the service to people who need the answers that they wouldn't be getting if you weren't available as a resource.
Josh actually goes out of state now. He's gone a lot.
What is your service range?
We go all over. The only two states right now that we don't go into, because Josh's license transfers to Florida, but he has to do his little thumbprint for it to transfer. So we don't do Florida right now. And I think it was New Hampshire that I still have to figure out how to make sure that he can legally go into that state and do assessments. But he pretty much goes everywhere else. He specializes in building cases, you know, for mainly against home builders. And then, you know, obviously, y'all know what's going on with the military homes. I mean, that's been going on for like a decade. But he mainly goes into build cases. And of course we also do home inspections for people who just own homes who aren't looking to litigate to get their answers to figure out if they actually do have a mold problem. And so, yes, he's very thorough.
I just want to add that I know a lot of inspectors get their evidence thrown out because they don't have the right credentials or they didn't have the right collection methods. And Josh's evidence regularly gets entered into trials, and you guys are winning cases too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been put on the stand. They've tried to get him thrown out as an expert, and they have not succeeded in doing that. You know, we learned along the way throughout the years in the industry, and also in our own case, you know, our own legal case against the landlords, of what kind of evidence you need and how to CYA yourselves, because if you don't have like certain documentation, then there can be questions on the table. So he does a really good job about getting ahead of those questions ever from being asked, because he has all the evidence needed to where you can't dispute it.
Thank you for being a guest on our podcast today and for telling us the background behind Malachi's Message and you forming Texas Mold Inspectors with your husband, Josh.
Thank you, Keely. Thank you, Eric.